Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
Looking for complete coverage of London Invasion 2008? Check out London Invasion Central, the unofficial live blog for everything happening at London Invasion. Subscribe today at www.londoninvasion.info. PHP BB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcasts.com. Hello, welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 70. We're not live this week on the podcast all about PHP BB, the bulletin board software at phpbb.com, because we've been, again, having a couple of things going on, but and also because David is planning a bunch of secret surprises for me here on this episode that I am a little unsure of. But I figured as long as Dave is going to try to make as much of an unstable episode as possible, maybe we should protect ourselves and protect the audience and not do it live. who knows what's going to happen? I swear he must be setting up the PHP BB CIA right now with all this stuff.
That's a secret.
So, one way or another, he's got something planned called Musical Chairs, and I don't know what the heck that means, but we're going to find out sometime on this episode. But first, we'll get through all the usual fancy stuff, including the fact that PHP BB Weekly is not affiliated with the PHP BB teams at phpbb.com. At least, we're not supposed to be affiliated with them yet, or I don't know what the deal is. That's another one of the secrets David keeps throwing around in my head.
That's not my fault.
Something about maybe we will be affiliated with them. I don't know what the deal is, but that wouldn't happen until I said so. So
PHP Weekly is not affiliated with the teams.
At this moment.
No. Yeah.
I guess so. Whatever. And if you'd like to check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, for all of our episodes and everything else going on there. Plus, PHP BB Weekly is sponsored, as always, by the wonderful GoToMeeting at GoToMeeting.com. Everyone, if you need to have people be able to see what's on your computer screen without having to worry about the hassle of driving or flying, everyone go to GoToMeeting.com during your conference call. They can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. The new version of GoToMeeting has completely fully native Macintosh support, as well as a fully integrated voice over IP. So now you can hold your conference on the web through your computer instead of having to have a phone nearby. So if you'd like to give it a try, you can go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. We thank GoToMeeting for their support of PHP BB Weekly. So before we get to whatever David's got up his sleeve, we can always hit – there's the PHPBB.com announcements form has been just going berserk this past weekend, I've noticed. In the last 4 days, there's been like three days, there's been like four new announcements on there. So, first biggie, of course, is the release of PHPBB 3.0.2.
Yes, major thing, of course, we've been talking about this before. We saw it coming, of course, with the RC releases to the QA team. And, of course, they did some testing on that and finally got that out. This is about 3.5 months since 3.0.1. And if you remember, 3.0.1 was released about 3.5 months after 3.0.0 was released. So at this rate, we should see another release in
Halloween.
Well, yeah, Halloween pretty much. So that'll be the Halloween release, assumingly. But anyway, so
I know you guys are have a code name Olympus for this thing now, but I miss back when there was PHP BB 2 releases. They always had some kind of an edition name that had to do with furry stuff.
And yeah, the release name. Yeah, actually,
I miss that.
Yeah, me too. But
the only
thing
they did
that,
once during the release candidate stage, when stage remember they had that release candidate, I think it was number 7, that was like the day after RC6. They called it the "Yes, We Do Love Our Support Team" edition or something like that.
Yes, and I think you know, they'll probably still assign names to it if they feel the need to do so, but most of them haven't had names. I would like to see them have names again. That was kind of cool.
Maybe we should start doing names for our episodes. I mean, I know we've done 70 episodes so far, but we should start naming them. Like, this will be the
musical chairs episode.
The Thank Goodness We're Not Live edition, depending on how crazy this goes. What was that?
That was the last non-live one we did, Thank Goodness We're Not Live edition.
Actually, that one was pretty on topic, amazingly enough.
Was it?
Depends which one. We just did one like 3 weeks ago.
That's true.
Edition names PHP. We should do that, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so how many, let's see.
3.0.2.
So there were 28 bug fixes, if I remember correctly. Well, now those are the highlighted ones. I should look at the actual change logs, because those will show the actual logs. I don't have them here in front of me.
Well, are they on the announcement?
Well, he always highlights the important changes since 3.0.1, for example, here.
Oh, important. I thought you listed all
of them. I don't think it lists all of them. You know, it has one security change or one security update fix, whatever you'd call it. Several new features. Added optional refer to the post.
There's a couple of new features in here too. Like, apparently streamlined banning from the moderator control panel. It's a good idea, because banning in the moderator control panel always felt a little bit awkward to me.
Mm-hmm. In the moderator control panel, there's not really a problem there, but now there's a link in the user profile where you can click and it bans the user. You know how there's a link there to warn the user or to add user notes? So now
it's even easier to send that user all the way to high heaven.
Yeah, but one thing that I liked about the MCP and the banning, like if you went to a specific topic and you wanted to ban the user from that topic, say there was a spam post, and so you knew it was like a spam bot or just a spammer that you wanted to ban, you can click the warn button and then you click on the ban tab, and it carries over the user ID to the ban tab, and then so it's automatically pre-filled. You just click submit to ban the user. So it's kind of nice how that's easy too, but you can also go to the user profile now and then ban them straight from there as well. Mm-hmm. So now it just makes it a little bit easier.
I need to put it on the view topic page, or is it already there?
No, it's not there. There's warn.
Because warn
users there. That's how you would get there from the view topic page. So there's two ways to get there now. You can click on the profile and then click ban, or you can click on warn user and then click the banning tab.
Mm.
So both about two clicks away, but not really that big of a deal, you know, because most, you know, banning is something more rarely done. Like, warnings is more common. You know, if you warn somebody for a specific post, you warn them.
I guess, of course, someone's doing something totally like bye-bye right away. So there'll be some users that'll try to do that. Like,
right, but still, that's pretty rare. You know, you don't have, you know, most boards, like even on Sergeant Guy, we really only have a handful of banned users, and most of them are like users that registered and then turned it over to a spam bot to spam everything. But
really,
it's only a handful. It's not really that much. And
so you don't
we've
have
been
very
live
many
for,
idiots come your way, I guess.
Right. Well, we've been live for a couple of years. Now, I know PHP.com, being as big as that board is, they still get quite a few. But even then, you don't get droves of people that you're banning continuously. So, you know, it's something that's not accessed a whole lot.
Good thing. So the team leader should at least get something done.
Locking a topic is more common, you know, for example.
Yeah.
Even moving or merging a topic, splitting a topic, those are more common actions than even banning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, banning is not something that has to be a one-click option. It's kind of rare for the most part.
Mm.
So, and then there's some changes. Don't allow redirects to different domains. Email ban reason on registration. that was changed. That's kind of a nice thing. That was kind of bugged me before, that it didn't make sense between what banning and email is, because if you have somebody who registered and you ban their email address, it doesn't actually ban the user, but you're basically preventing that email address from being registered. So usually,
if you have a grudge against Hotmail.
Yeah, it's like if you didn't want anybody to register from a specific domain, you would use a wildcard at that particular domain.com, you know?
Well, so I don't like that. I mean, there are
some services that are really, really common spam services.
Mm.
You know, so people will register a fake email address, a temporary email address at that particular service, just so that they can register on your board and then spam it to death,
like
without being tracked.
Yeah, like sometimes when I can really, like, sometimes when I'm back when I did mods and I would test mods, like actually when I had my thing for adding a new user from the admin panel for PHPBB2, I always registered those test users with some random email address at example.com.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, example.com is like a reserved domain name, which you can just use for...
example.com, example.org, and example.net are all reserved domains.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but...
So, I tell you, whoever has an email address at example.com, they get so much stuff from me.
I think everybody does, because, you know, they specifically reserve those for documentation. So, you know, that's what everybody uses for their documentation. So they don't even have email addresses.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, in any case, that's kind of nice to have that there. Show email ban reason on registration. So now when you ban an email address and somebody registers with that email address, then it will show the reason that it's banned now, instead of just
like
saying that email address isn't allowed.
So rather than having those people think that perhaps your website's broken, they can then be assured that you totally hate them. that keeping them guessing, which is sometimes useful.
So
I know, yep. I oversimplify everything, but even though oversimplifying things is one of the ways of helping to get some people to figure it out. I've found, like, sometimes if you oversimplify it, over dramatize something, then people actually get what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually found that.
Okay, so the other one, oh yes, they're additionally allowing custom errors probably returned if using validate data, which is, that would be significant for mod authors to note. So they can now specify a custom error when they use the validate data function.
Yeah.
Determining the maximum number of private messages in one box using the biggest value from all groups the user is a member of.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of nice. So that, because people will have, like, what I like to do, and this is kind of, this is not necessarily related to this bug, I think. But what I like to do is I'll get so many PMs that I end up having to create all kinds of new folders to throw stuff into to archive them, because I don't want to delete any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't you're reaching your PM box limit, which I have at 400, and that fills up really quickly when you get a lot of PMs. Regularly, I'll get about 10 PMs a day, and that's, you know,
really?
40 days and it's full.
Wow, I'm lucky to get a PM in a month these days. Back when I was on the mod team, PM a week, maybe 2 PMs a week, but yeah. Most of them just people asking for support. I got so tired of writing back and saying, please go to the support forum for it. I just decided to hit the delete button without even bothering.
Yeah, of course, we get a lot of those, since, you know, people trying to get support, which violates Rule 4E, but...
I still get some.
there's still quite a few, or like, for example, several of the mods that I was abandoning, I've got users taking them over, some of those mods over, which is great. Drugs, for example, is a great one. So, you know, they're communicating back and forth. And then also on validation, you know, if some people have questions about the validation process, or, you know,
that's more legit. I mean, for that.
Yeah, so I'm saying it's like not all the emails I'm getting are just support questions. Yeah. I get a lot of,
it's
hey,
like,
you know,
hated
I
hate my mod. Why did you hate my mod? Please tell me.
Well, what's funny, you know, I don't really validate mods anymore. That's not really my task. And,
really?
But I still get a lot of PMs from mod authors saying, hey, what's this mean, or how can I fix this? I got,
you
know, denied with this.
Weren't you brought on as a mod validator for PHP BB3?
Well, initially, yes. I work more in the, you know, there's three jobs for mod team members. Moderation.
Yeah, moderation, validation, and secret stuff.
The coding.
Yeah, secret stuff.
Yeah. So my job is more the coding.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and you know, a lot of the mod team members, especially the coding ones, are on, well, the website team, which is sort of everybody on the teams. Anybody can pretty much make a modification to PHPBB.com, but there's a few Monty members who are specifically, you know, do a lot of work on PHPBB.com, just updating changes and, of course, mod documentation or anything like that. But
so then how many of the mod – I'm looking at the team page right now. Which of the mod team members really do validation then at this point?
Well, a Jelly Donut.
Okay.
Paul.
Okay.
Jim, let's see. Terra I gotta think of his. Yeah, Terra Frost.
Okay.
Well, he does more 2.0 validation.
Well, then he's. What's he gonna do now with 2.0 sort of going bye bye?
Well, you know, the 2.0 validators, like YCL6, which is Mac, they're learning the 3.0.
Yeah,
so Mac, that they can start validating.
Mac and Jim were there when I was added to the team.
Mm-hmm. And if you have guys like
Paul and Hobbit are newer,
and Mark are moderators. Handyman and Igor are validators.
So you guys only have four validators.
Josh, well, Paul is also a coder. He has trouble getting out of the validation world, even though he'd like to. he is also a validator. So,
well, you see, when I was on. When I was on the mod team, there were only really like two or three of us validators. Now, I was brought on as a validator, and I was pretty much a validator the whole time. And it was kind of weird because to admit it now, I never quite felt totally grounded in validating. I mean, to put it into this perspective, this was 2005 in fall when I first got on the mod team, and I had only – 1 year prior to that, I couldn't do anything with PHP. Just half a year before that, I was sort of feeling my way around advanced version check with help from a co-mod author. By fall, I had actually read a book on PHP, so I was sort of novice at it, but I'm not super great. I'm sort of at the – I can take a WordPress or a PHPBB thing apart and hack at it a bit, but I can't find my way around PHPBB 3. I don't understand classes at all.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't understand the OOP of PHP 5, basically.
Object-oriented programming, I don't understand that at all, even though the teams then tried to get me into it a little bit. So I sort of avoided the very high-end mods over there. I sort of looked at the lower end mods, mostly doing searches through the mod authors check, the mod reviewers checklist, you know, those public documents, which then for PHPBB2 was okay. PHPBB3 now is a whole new monkey, so to speak. And I know you guys do like very serious, very heavy security checks, which are heavier than we did back in PHPBB2, I presume. And, but even then there's only like, about a quarter of the mod team even doing validation, which was kind of annoying when there were times when the mod queue would get pretty darn big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of our validators are really good at validating bigger mods. You know, for example, let's say a mod comes through that has heavy JavaScript, heavy Ajax, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much throws that over to Handyman.
Oh, really? Francis does validation?
Yes, he does. And
you didn't mention
because
him.
He's. Yeah, no, I didn't. Looking at the list now, it's like you realize who does what. But he does most of the JavaScript validation stuff to come through. But
if we had really really big ones, like every time categories hierarchy came through, we called an Eric. He sort of helped bail us out in some of those ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Eric, categories hierarchy got updated. Better go get to it. That thing was huge.
Yeah, and we had it come through not long ago, and so I had to just kind of go through. And you know, it's kind of funny when they when they call in some of the 3.0 validators to validate those mods, we're like, no way, we won't validate them because the first line that we look at, we'd insta-deny it, you know?
Because.
So, now, of course, that in fact, that's a good topic because we've clarified, or we are working on clarifying the insta-deny policy a bit. We're working on a list that we're going to publish showing mod authors what parameters that you would look for to keep your mod from being insta-denied, and then we'll also publish a list of the aspects of a mod that we look at when we validate a mod. So some of the things
that used to be out there during the PHP BB2 days, and I haven't seen very much on that PHP. All the mod documentation there is right now, I can find, is what you get when you go to phpbb.com/mod/documentation, and that's sort of in a manual type of format, which isn't quite what we have.
Well, I was looking at – a while back, I was looking at some of the documentation for like the insta-deny list, and I couldn't find anything real structured. It was mostly all pretty vague. You know, it wasn't like, you know, if this is wrong, this will be denied. It was like vague things. You know, this is a list of five things that we look for, but it's like sometimes we would
– It was a little bit vague because – even on the mod team, we did not have very, very high-end standards for insta-deny. And as someone who sort of validated it, I can sort of agree in that personally I felt like insta-deny kind of was a little bit painful, unless it was like something that was totally bad, did not use the mod template, or was totally far out there. It's just sort of, or it was clear that the mod author had obviously not put any kind of real dedicated effort to it. I personally kind of felt like, you know, it takes so long for these things to come in, and quite frankly, at the time, I don't know how it's like now, but even at the time, mods would sit in the queue for a few weeks till they got up to the top and we could actually look at them, and it kind of feels painful after all the time to have to deny something over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And, you know, at this point, what we've recently done, I would say within the last 2 weeks, is we've got a list together. Paul actually uses a tool now that they've recently built that checks a mod for various number of listed items, you know, and if any of them fail, then it's insta-denied. And so that's the list that they're going to work on publishing. And actually, there's a discussion topic in the 3.0 mod writers discussion forum, I believe, where Paul talks about that a bit. But basically, they're going to be putting together a list of items why a mod would be denied, and it would be very specific.
Yeah.
So that should help a lot. And then also validation items. You know, it's like here – and that's a much longer list because, you know, we're looking for all kinds of things when we validate a mod. Mm-hmm. And so – what will help mod authors is obviously knowing what we're looking for so that they can kind of do it themselves to their own mods. Because the idea is that you want to be able to submit a mod and have it approved right away. You don't want to submit it, have it denied, submit it again, have it denied, submit, you know, and do this process over and over 6-7 times. You know, you want to submit it and have it approved pretty much the first time. You know, that's not always going to happen. I don't think I've had – no, actually, I take that back. I did have one mod that was approved the very first time, but that's really rare, very, very rare.
Yeah.
But it
did happen, you know, a few times. I remember that.
Yeah. So even for us, for ourselves, it's like when we're submitting a mod, we want a solid list there that everybody's looking at, because you know, everybody kind of validates on a different plane.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
You have some people look for some things and will notice some things, whereas other validators won't. So having a list there,
having it validated, we always would let it sit a few more days for other people to look at to see if they found anything. Because I know certainly people would find things I would have missed. Would have happened easily.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all human.
Exactly. And so making it more standardized.
That's why even on our own mods, we got denied. Heck, I mean, here I am, a mod team member. I submitted the third version of advanced version check, and it got denied 6 times. I don't remember why, but it got denied 6 times.
Yeah, there's different reasons, and of course, like, you know, one person may look at it and go, looks good, and approve, or except just one little item, and you may deny it, you may submit it, and somebody else looks at it and sees different things. And so putting a more standardized list there would help that a little bit.
It would be good, I think, if because for PHP BB2, there was a lot of information out there on mod validation. And granted, some of it got a little dated because a lot of it was written up by Craig or Nutsy99 when he was out.
Yeah.
But what we had was in the 2.0.x mod writers discussion forum, this one that you guys now have made read-only, there was a topic called Important General Mod Information for Authors, which Nutsy did. And when I got on the team, I sort of went through everything else and tried to get a lot more stuff here as sort of like one sort of sitemap for everything, all the important information you can find on mod validation. Granted, there was stuff in the mod database, in the knowledge base, there was stuff in physical static web pages, there was stuff in various forum posts in weird places, but at least sort of got it together. And there's a lot of stuff there. Some of it maybe a little dated, but it's you kind of got the idea, and that's all the stuff I read to sort of prime myself for my mod team role. PHP BB3, I don't see as much stuff. And there's also certainly not that sort of central place to find it. And I know there's a lot of things in the knowledge base now, ever since they rebuilt the phpbb.com website. But kind of a personal bias, I don't personally think that the knowledge base and the mod database and stuff like that is as well designed as it was back in the older phpbb2-based phpbb.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Well, actually, I do. I do remember what the mod database was like back then. And there was some nice aspects of it. And that there's different aspects of it now that are nicer and different aspects of it now that are not quite as nice. But
it doesn't feel as much like it did then.
Yeah. One thing I can say is that, you know, it is being worked on and it will be improved. Yeah. And of course, the documentation isn't extensive for 3.0 yet. A lot of it is because, you know, the documentation that was all there was pretty old, very old. So we're like, you know, most of this stuff doesn't apply like it used to, and so we've taken it down. Mm-hmm. There's not as many mods for 3.0 as there was for 2.0 because most of the stuff that was mods in 2.0 is now default features in 3.0. So. Yeah. Not as many mods required to do basic functionality, you know, think simple form or simple subforms or categories hierarchy. Now, those kind of mods aren't even needed in 3.0. What else? Like many of the tools in the moderator control panel. I can't even think about what 2.0 had or what 2.0 didn't have that 3.0 has, but there was quite a few there, and it's like there was mods. You had to get a mod if you wanted to do something with like let's say you wanted to merge multiple topics or merge two topics into one or split topics or whatever it might be. And I don't remember exactly what 2.0 had, but you would have had to get mods for most of that kind of stuff in 2.0.
Personally, whereas you don't. What I think my opinion of the documentation for PHP BB3, and actually I thought this at the time when ModX was first coming out and the team started spitting out documentation for ModX, was that it was all lumped together in a single document like a user manual, which is okay, except that it makes things a bit more technical in certain cases. And I think that the way a lot of us sort of process information in our head is we have a question about something, we want to be able to quickly find an answer. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I liked about PHP BB2's documentation. It wasn't necessarily all in the one place, but you had shorter, more succinct, more to the point answers that you could find from like a central index or something like that. It's sort of a way. Versus here I go to the PHP BB3 modification documentation. And what do I get? I get this big long table of contents with like four sublevels and things like that. And it's kind of like it's not as natural for me to find information now as it was then. That's just me.
But I guess I find a lot of mod authors actually think the same way because a lot of the questions that people have are found in there. And even, you know, that was kind of the reason that we took that down is because, you know, it's like I went through there. We just recently went through there and we're like, scans, it's like 90% of that stuff I haven't even read. And why? Yeah. I'm a Monty member. I should have read that stuff, but I didn't because it's just – it's a big table of contents of stuff all bunched together, and it's not really – you know, it's like – you know, if I want to spend 6 hours just going through and reading it or more, I don't know how long it would take to go through all that stuff, but there's no way I would want to do that. Yeah. I want to code. I want to create a mod and get going right away. I may want to look at a tutorial rather than read a table of contents and stuff.
That's what I personally, when I go on websites, I want to see about something new. If I want to find out what the heck it is, if they have a video tutorial or something like that, I'll go for the video before I'll read a bunch of paragraphs. I might read a bunch of paragraphs to ascertain more details, but having a visual or just something that's more succinct, more grabbing seems better. And quite frankly, that's interestingly enough why when I was reading the Patrick O'Keefe's book, Managing Online Forums, one of the things that he talked about, which directly contradicted a long PHPBB.com tradition, was he says, never tell people to search for an answer. If they ask a question, answer the question because that's what you're there for. PHPBB.com has always told people, go search for the answer, which has personally always gotten me rivaled because, first of all, until recently, PHPBB.com's search was lame. But also because if people are asking a question, over and over and over, that's a hint that perhaps you're not making the answer easy enough for them to find.
Now, here's something interesting about that. That actually brings to mind one of my mod topics, my mod support topics, where I've created a huge frequently asked question on the very first post, but at the bottom of the very first post. And it answered all the common questions because in the topic I was getting the same questions over and over and over and over.
I love FAQs.
So it was like even after I posted the FAQ, I would still get the same questions over and over and over and over. But, you know, people are always going to do that. You kind of have to expect that. So, you know, it's like what can you do? You keep answering the same question, spending the same time answering that same question. It's like this question has been answered like 500 times already. There's no reason I need to answer it again. But instead of just telling them, you know what, search for the answer, point them to something that contains the answer. You don't necessarily have to answer the question there, but point them to something that contains the answer.
In a way, it's kind of like you may have a company that writes up an FAQ that answers questions on their website. And that's great because that means that some people will find that and that'll save you time. But if someone calls up your technical support phone number and they wait on hold for half an hour, they're going to be pretty mad at you if they tell you, oh, we've answered that question. Go search for it. Instead, these are tech support people. They are paid to answer questions. So even if it's on the FAQ, you still answer the question because that's what your job is for. And if you make someone stay on hold half an hour and then say, oh, it's online, I'm not going to tell you the answer. You've got to go find it yourself. People are going to be pretty mad at you. They're not going to want to stick around with you very much.
Yeah, well, and I think that's kind of not a really good example because
– it's the best I could come up with on a short notice. Granted, the PHPBB teams, I've been watching sort of after I left the only reason I left was because I – kind of like had no time issues, not enough free time. I think they've gotten a bit better with that. I think they've gotten better with that. Whereas when I was on the team, it seemed a lot more like an aristocracy in a way. And it seems a bit better now.
I think it is. And, you know, of course, we brought on a lot of new team members since then. So, I mean, the teams don't look anywhere near what they did when you were on the team.
A lot of them are
as far as personnel
now.
Goes. But as far as that goes, now, you know, it's like a lot of the time I get a lot of support questions like, you know what, I don't even have time to answer this question. And so it's like I have two options. Literally there's two options, but I bring in a third. And I'll tell you the two options are, one is I can either just completely ignore the question and hope somebody else will answer it. Because I don't have time to deal with it. Or number two, tell them to search, which is just kind of bad because then they're going to go, well, I have searched. Or, you know, well, that doesn't really help them. So a lot of times I bring in that third option, which is I make sure I, as time goes on, I'm developing a good frequently asked question so that I know exactly where their answer should be posted or where it should be. Or even if they need to search for it, then I will point them to the search page containing the keywords that they would need, so that, you know, it brings up the search results. I should not say the search page, but the search results with the results of you know, what's going to answer their question. You know, so they go to that search results page, the answer to their question is on that page.
Yeah.
You know, so that works too, but not just telling them, well, you need to go search for it. They're like, well, okay, search for what? Where you as the support team member already know what to search for.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, one thing you can do that I thought of, if you are answering technical support questions, like answering the same kind of questions over and over and over again, there are actually things for that you can get. I think on Mac it's called Text Expander, and on Windows it's called Active Words. And what it is like you can set these things where you just type a few letters you customize, and you can have like a whole thing automatically typed out for you with like a response with a link to answers to questions and things like that. And so it's like a way you can sort of get the rote answers done a lot quicker in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways you can sort of try to optimize things for your own sanity. You may have answered a question 500 times. The person asking the question has not heard you answer it those 500 times. They think you're asking it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this, and actually those who like to browse Area 51 often probably already know from some of the recent discussions that, you know, some people are wanting to do documentation, wanting to expand the documentation, both the user documentation and the coding documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's lots of different kinds of documentation. The support team deals with user documentation. The development team deals with coding documentation. And I think the mod team does help a little bit with the coding documentation. Think about the Olympus Wiki as an example of that coding documentation. But then there's also
Wiki?
What?
There's
OlympusWiki.nativeman.de.
Oh, it's a Nativeman's thing.
Yeah, you've seen it. So anyway, a wiki works great for coding documentation, like Mike said in there, it doesn't work so great for user documentation. He's like, it can't be in user documentation. That's not really my field, so I can't really make a judgment on that.
It depends. If you can make sure it's quality stuff. I mean, WordPress has a wiki for everything bit of documentation they have.
Yeah, but is it user contributed?
Yes.
Because users can contribute documentation to, say, the coding documentation, because it's, you know, here's problem A and here's solution B, you know. So it's like, you know, you have a problem and solution for coding documentation, and you can have a wide range of people submitting or contributing to that kind of documentation. That's what the Olympus Wiki is for, but it's sort of more obscure, so it's unfortunately not very populated with content. But if you read Mike's post, yeah, he gives indication of, you know, that we're in a mindset right now of thinking of expanding our documentation and the ability for users to contribute better to existing documentation and expanding the documentation that we have now. So certainly we're not satisfied with our current level of documentation or our, you know, the documentation that we have now. We're not completely satisfied with it either, and so we're wanting to improve that as well.
So, well, anyway, I don't know how we got that long discussion, but that was some good stuff to talk about. We should move on.
Yeah, and actually, I think that kind of went off what the mod team duties were, because one of the mod team duties is mod documentation, and that's what Batty. Actually, that brings us to musical chairs, doesn't it?
No, we're not there yet. We have some stuff to say.
No, well, actually, that relates pretty closely. So let me go ahead and do musical chairs now.
Oh dear, well, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. But
okay, so what did I say when I mean musical chairs? Well, actually, a couple of team members are moving around. Batty, who was on the support team until recently, just moved to the mod team, and Will Huff was on the moderator team and just moved to the styles team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I say when I mean musical chairs. So a little bit of moving around there.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that Batty will be working on is a lot of mod documentation, because he's not really a validator, not really a coder. So he's going to be working on documentation. So that will really help us, because I know we've really lacked in that area, because most of everybody else on the team, you know, you have Mac, Terrafrost, Paul, Mennonite Hobbit, Mark the Daemon, myself, Handyman, Igor, Bantu, and then HLA Donut, we're all coders and, you know, and WG Eric, we're all coders and validators primarily, and then documentation is sort of something we have to make time for and do. We don't have anybody dedicated to making documentation for modding documentation.
Mm.
So that is one thing that Batty will be helping out with.
Documentation and is a lot of work. I don't think I would have the patience for it.
For documentation?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really have a problem with it, you know, when I have to actually do it, but it still is making time for it when you've got to do other things like coding and validation. But if you're not doing coding or validation, and your other task is documentation, you won't have any problem doing documentation.
Well, I kind of think it's kind of a little bit more boring than coding, but whatever.
Well, I think it's more interesting to others than it might be to you or me.
Yeah.
For example, I think coding is more interesting to me than I think it is to you.
I don't know about that.
No,
I
mean, now think about this. Because
here's what I'm thinking. Coding is really the kind writing documentation is like you see something, you know how it works, and you write down how it works. Great. Coding is you sort of like when you're doing coding, you have a goal, so you want to work, and you're trying to tackle the challenge of figuring out how to make it work. And coding and bug fixing is sort of you trying to figure out how to play around with the tools you have to make something work. And I think that's kind of more challenging to me personally, to my own mind, than just coding, than writing documentation, which is like, here's how it works, you know.
Well, yeah, documentation isn't trying to figure out how something is working.
And whereas putting the pieces together of a puzzle between writing the code and then bug fixing it to get the puzzle pieces to fit together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think to me, coding is not really that big of a challenge. Mod coding isn't that big of a challenge. But it's more interesting to do than documentation.
Because it challenges your mind a bit more, I'll say that.
Right, but you know, you have people who who are really interested and who want to help expand the documentation. You know, that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And it may be because they're working with the code and they are trying to figure out how something's working. They're not seeing how it's working because the documentation isn't really complete in their area. And so what do they want to do? They want to expand the documentation. That's what they want to concentrate on.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, that's interesting.
Documentation are in some ways the teachers. You sort of like have the people, the pioneers of a field that sort of try to push the limits, but then you also have to have the teachers that sort of help to spread the information around.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, through this podcast, we are the teachers. Maybe in a little more of in a different light than documentation, but
right,
because we sort this of do gonna, it at a more you, roundabout way.
Name this episode the documentation episode.
No, that's too boring. That'll turn people away from us.
Yeah. So anyway, that covers those two topics. So let's move on from there.
That's all you had for musical chairs?
That's it.
I thought you were going to bring on music and like make me stand on my head or something.
No, musical chairs. That's people moving around the teams. So.
Spoil something that seemed exciting.
Yeah, sorry. Well, actually, my team is now the second largest team next to the moderator team.
I remember when I like 8 guys. Now it's
Well, the support team was
now
pretty full.
Now it's 12. Wow. I mean, you guys beat out the moderator team?
No, moderator team is pretty big right now.
Moderator team has 14.
Yeah.
But the support team has 11.
Okay, yeah. Moderator team has 14. Mod team has 12. Support team has 11. So, yeah, we're the second biggest team.
The development team is certainly a lot bigger now than it was back when I was there. You got 7 people now. I remember when there was only 3 developers.
Yeah.
Acid Burn, David MJ, and Naderman.
Yeah, that's kind of good because, you know, of course, that means that
kinda
hopefully –
that means we have developers. That means people are working on the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually, that's kind of good.
I know the mod team at least is looking for more validators.
Yeah.
People who we're always looking for, but we can always use good validators.
Always.
And I think the development team is always open to inviting people that are really dedicated to PHPBB development and are really good at it, you know, because those are – they have much higher standards than probably the rest of the teams do. But, you know, tell me by the fact that they now have Toonarmy and, of course, APTX are the two most recent people to join the development team. You can tell that they are open to people who are like, you know what, here's – they're contributing code to PHPB or whatever they're doing, but their code looks really good, and you know, so people who are wanting to contribute to PHPB, it can still do it. You know, it's not like the development team is impossible to get on. If you are a really, really good coder, PHP coder and PHPB coder, mm-hmm. and you are actively contributing or would like to actively contribute, I'm sure that they, you know, would entertain a request.
But just because you're not on the team doesn't mean you can't contribute to PHPBB. You can,
right.
You can be a regular user in the support forum. I mean, I know from experience the teams value the regular users that offer help in the support forum as much as the team members who offer help in the support forum. You could mm-hmm. you could support PHPBB by doing something like we're doing. Just do a podcast, you know?
Right, and that's a method of contributing, and you know, people will contribute in different ways.
It's this method of contributing is certainly a lot friendlier on my time budget than being a team member was by far.
Yeah, you know, and that I think is some issues with a lot of different people, and you know, some have had those concerns before going onto the team. But I think for mod authors going to mod team members are probably some of the hardest, and also maybe the development team members because. Now you've got all these mod team duties, and you're trying to develop or support your own mods at the same time, and that's pretty time demanding. And that's what I think makes it hard for the mod team.
Oh, it'll be a good day when we talk about the difficulties of being on the styles team as much as we do with the mod team.
Yeah, I know, and I don't know. I don't know what those are, obviously, because I'm not on the styles team. But we'll take the support
because we haven't seen much results yet.
Yeah, they'll take the support team, for example, their primary task is to give support, and they were probably hired because they were giving a lot of support as a regular user. And so going to the support team probably didn't have a huge effect on their time. You know, I'm sure it did have a little, but probably not a huge effect because they were already doing what they're doing now on the team. That's being outside the support team, that's my best guess anyway.
All right. So with musical chairs over, let's see what the other big news today was, oh look, PHPBB borrowed an idea out of our PHPBB Weekly discussion forum. They formed a PHPBB blog. Wow.
Now,
what do we have?
Okay, so this is funny because, all right, yeah, it is. It's great. It's fantastic. But I must say it wasn't inspired by PHPBB Weekly. I don't know. Maybe it was, but I don't think it was. It was something that we've been discussing for a while. And, you know, we've been looking for ways, of course, to improve relations between the team and the community, you know, and improve that communication between the two, you know, and make the team seem a little bit more personal. That was kind of the idea behind the official podcast. It's like, you know what, let's let the community hear our voices and, you know, get to hear our viewpoints and
except,
you know,
for some reason,
kind of get to know us better.
For some reason, PHPBB Weekly has been more successful at that than the official podcast has been.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault. It's all
no,
your
it's
fault.
It's not. I have no control over what you guys on the official podcast do, David, the PHPBB mod team member, over.
Yeah, so of course, yeah, we got the blog up now, phpbb.com/blog. And currently there are three articles on there, all three fantastic articles. Go read them.
You know, and let's see. Exploits from the crypt. Let's put them back.
That's from Henry.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he's addressing a lot of exploits, so to speak, that people have posted on the internet for PHPBB3. It's like, oh, hey, you know, this
for three?
This is a vulnerability. Yeah, PHPBB3. Go read the article. You'll see it. It's pretty interesting. And, you know, of course, on the backside, we've known about it for a while. But, you know, these are things that you can search for. It's like vulnerabilities in PHPBB3. People have posted these. And most of them currently are bogus. They're actually bogus reports. And Henry goes through it and highlights why it's bogus, how it doesn't work, and why it's a bunch of baloney, basically. And then, of course, we have the exploit from back in early beta with the SQL injection. If you're a global moderator, you could do an SQL injection.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
that's
when you
appoint global moderators, you should trust them. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, it doesn't really matter because you shouldn't have an SQL injection in your code anyway. So you know, again, beta. This is very very early on.
Give us a break here. Come on, it's not final yet. We tell you not to use it on a live environment for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. So what did he say about that one? He said. Oh, yes, the bogus, the misguided, and the ancient. This is the 24-month-old bug report fixed a long time ago. He said, this one floats around a lot and gets reported regularly, which is really strange because nobody even runs Beta 3 anymore. At least nobody should be running Beta.
At this point, nobody should be running 3.0.1 anymore, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, people can still run 3.0.0. Really, they should be upgrading to 3.0.2.
Yeah,
but,
they should.
You know, but it's not like there's no SQL injections in 3.0.0 either, or even any of the RCs. So
yeah.
That's not really an issue here. Yeah. The betas, which were never even supported, contained this vulnerability long before the RC stage. Very old beta. It really had the issue. Only if the attacker enjoyed global moderator privileges could they exploit that vulnerability. So it was not an easy exploit. I mean, you had to have global moderator permissions to be able to exploit it. So it had been pretty rare if anybody actually did an exploit on it on a live board. I mean, I don't think anybody actually did. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody did, and that's how they found it, but doubt it. Anyway, Henry says this is a good example why the strict adherence to coding guidelines is so important. This is why I have repeated over and over why coding guidelines are so important to developing your mod so that you don't run into accidental SQL injection.
Mm-hmm.
Or any other security issue, which PHPBB prevents by default. And as we know, it went through that huge security audit between RC5 and RC6 and RC7.
Add revenue to good use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they didn't find a single SQL injection in the entire code. That's great. And then they did some extra things to prevent XSS and cross-site request forgeries too. But and in fact, he addresses some of these fake bogus exploits on CSRF cross site request forgery, and he goes through and details how it can't be correct and how it doesn't actually work, how the vulnerability doesn't actually work. But and why people post these bogus exploits? My guess is they're just trying to continue giving PHPBB a bad name because, I mean, they're completely bogus. They don't work. You can't get an example that will actually work on the PHPBB 3 port. So, you know, my only guess is that they must just be either really, really incompetent, which is difficult to believe, or they must be trying to give PHPBB 3 a bad name, mm-hmm. which is probably more likely. There's those. What else? Oh, wrong recipient exploit, 16-month-old PHP 2 pre-mod PHP for from 2004. It was listed as for PHPB Extreme 3.0.1.
Mm-hmm.
So some people think that's for PHPB 3.0.1. It's not. It's a very old exploit for a product that is not even from PHPB. It doesn't share any code with PHPB 3.
It just uses the name.
Yeah, and in fact, PHPBB 2 never even had the vulnerability. So it's, you know, it's a it's a product by somebody completely unrelated and unaffiliated with PHPBB or the PHPBB teams, and it had an exploit, and people try to pin that, of course, on PHPBB, and it's just simply not true. It's not from PHPBB. So those are all the those are what he went through, and it's so anyway. It's an interesting article.
Well, the thing is, David, no matter what you do, if people are going to say things about things they don't like. You really can't do anything to stop it. I mean, it's so clear when you see, just to put it in a real world example, look at the media in the United States that can't stop saying that Barack Obama is a secret Muslim. It ain't true. There's facts to show that it ain't true, but people still keep saying it. Similarly, PHP, they keep saying PHP-BB3 is unsecure and has lots of security vulnerabilities. It ain't true. The facts show it ain't true, but people are still going to say it, so...
Or right, or take the bogus 9/11 theories that people have. Facts show that they aren't true, and yet people still believe that they're true. You know, that
depends which theories you're talking about. Let's not get into politics. I don't want to get into.
Right,
there.
Well, no, that's not politics. I'm just saying, you know, it's like where people thought that the U.S. bombed the Trade Center, that airplanes didn't actually run into them. You know, theories like that.
Well,
that simply aren't true.
I'm going to get into if we get into that, I'm going to start talking about some of the real claims that I think are absolutely not true and know that aren't true. So, if you don't want to get down that road, we will stop now. Okay.
So anyway, so the blog is going to be up, and you'll start seeing some posts pop on there. And we actually have a discussion topic in the 3.0.x discussion forum, discuss the PHPBB blog. And basically what we're doing there is looking for ideas, because a lot of us, myself included, have a lot of ideas for blog posts. And it's kind of like, well, what would you post about first? What would people be interested in? So I posted a list of 16 topics that I just have on the top of my head for blogging about, and I had several replies that said how about all of the above. So I was kind of like, oh, well, that doesn't help.
That's totally valid there, David.
They want
to hear about. What it means is you pick something to write about and it gets posted, and then these other things you will attack further down in the near future. I have a list of things that I want to blog about this summer. Anytime I get inspiration, I go and add it to the list so that when I have time, I will write about it. And it'll get posted sometime this summer. Hopefully. So, yeah. So they're totally valid in saying that.
Hey, here's a good one. Somebody finally chose one. I might actually write about that. Search engine optimization, SEO, the great misconception. That's a controversial one. That will be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'll say this. If nothing else, this PHPBB blog will give us stuff to talk about on this podcast. If we get stuck without anything to talk about on our podcast, we'll just go over to the PHPBB blog and rip something off of it. So,
yeah, we really suffer from that. How long have we been going now?
70 episodes. Today. Can you believe this?
How long today?
Today? Oh, we're almost at an hour, so... But
this was supposed to be a 20-minute episode.
Says who? I wasn't.
Says me. I have work to do.
I wasn't going to let you get away with the 20-minute episode. Besides, we have to get over to our London invasion update. You know what? I just remembered last week I said I was going to put a jingle on for the London invasion update, and I forgot to do it.
You can do it now. For this episode.
I'll have to go back to the other one and do that then, too. London invasion update. Okay. Well, anyway, let's see. Before we talk about what we've done, meaning me and you, mostly me, have done for London invasion, is there any... new news regarding London Invasion, which is now less than a week away.
Badges are being made, and people are starting to fly over already.
Already?
Yeah.
Well, they're really getting a head start. You think the iPhone 3G was being released there?
Well, a lot of people have friends and family or whatever over in London, and so they're flying early to go visit with them, and then at the next weekend they will go back over to the hotel for London Vision.
What's your itinerary?
So they're kind of tying the trip in together. So
yeah, a lot of people do that. What's your itinerary?
Traveler? My itinerary is receive the camera parts that I need tomorrow.
Okay.
Fly. I guess we're flying out Thursday? Yep, because then we're arriving on Friday.
So you're leaving Thursday in the morning or?
Noon.
Noon. Is it a direct flight?
No, it goes to Denver. Then we fly with WG Eric to London.
So you and Eric are going to be on the same flight.
Yeah, we will.
That'll be fun. So you're flying out of Spokane Airport, or is there another airport?
Spokane Airport.
Okay, it's a Spokane. It's an internet.
Yeah, it's a Spokane International Airport, but it's it's a smaller airport than an airport like Denver, of course.
Is Spokane near Seattle?
It's about 5 hours from Seattle. Hours drive.
Because Virgin America goes to Seattle, and I've got a $100 credit on Virgin America from a time when they screwed up a return flight and maybe stay in an airport for 8 hours. That's only good until the end of October, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to use it. But they fly to Seattle. They don't fly to Spokane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some flights that would go from Spokane to Seattle and then go all the way over to London from there, but nothing out of Spokane. Spokane is much too small an airport to be flying straight from London from here on any flight.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably possible to get a flight from San Francisco to Spokane, but
large airports like Chicago O'Hare, DFW, Denver, San Francisco, Seattle, large airports like that.
Denver connects to everywhere practically.
Yeah, pretty much. But yes. I think we'll really enjoy being on the same flight as WG Eric. He's flying in from Salt Lake City to Denver and then carrying over to
maybe on
London.
The same flight. Are you in the same seats or do you not know yet?
We don't know. I should ask that.
What airline?
Let's see. It's British Midland operated by American Airlines. It's British Midland, but it's operated by one of the American airline companies.
So, okay, One World Alliance type thing.
I don't know. Something.
Guess. Okay. I'm so used because I fly back and forth between San Francisco and Los Angeles a lot. In fact, I just got back from Los Angeles yesterday, which is why we didn't do a live episode. And I do Virgin America for that, and they like let you choose your seat and all that. So I always reserve early so that I can get an aisle seat. And the only reason I reserve early is because I'm doing it on someone else's bill. That's the only time I get to travel, when someone else is paying for it.
The first plane that that goes out, I didn't realize that you had to click a link to go to the back of the plane to choose your seats, and there were so many seats taken that I couldn't get two seats together for Francis and I. It wasn't until the next flight came through that I realized I could choose seats from the back of the plane. So I'm like, oh, darn.
Oh, ouch.
Sucks. Oh, well. Usually what we do, because we've had that happen before, and we'll usually just trade with somebody.
Mm.
Hey, you want to sit in our seat, and we'll sit in that one.
Okay. Well, so you fly out Thursday, you get there Friday, and I guess that means you get some time on Friday to try to adjust to the new time zone. 8 hours ahead.
Yeah, we'll be probably meeting with several people. I know.
It's like a day to have fun, right?
Yeah, data try and recover is what it is.
That too.
It's not really enough, but let's see. I'm trying to think. The Joomla Andy Miller wants to meet up on Friday, okay. So we may go do some sightseeing with him or something. I don't know.
Will you be taking pictures?
Of course. That's why I'm getting my camera parts tomorrow.
Bingo. All right. And so then Saturday, you said the teams, or at least those team members that will be there, are having their first ever physical in one location team meetings that day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As opposed to online through super secret IRC channels meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So any is it literally all day or?
Most of the day, I think. I don't know exactly how long it's going to be.
Like, do you guys need icebreaker activities or things like that?
Probably not. We all know each other, so we don't need that.
You do?
We need an icebreaker. Might dress up in a Birdiezilla mascot or something.
But that you need to get a picture of, okay? I want a picture of that, okay? So you do your team meetings, and then at 5 o'clock-ish that day is when you'll be trying to get away from those team meetings to do PHP BB Weekly.
Team meetings should be over by then, but hopefully I'll be able to get some team members.
Yeah, get the team members to come by, and then maybe you'll do a real musical chairs with team members. See if you can bring in some extra headphones, perhaps. I don't know how possible that is, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I'll try and remind everybody to bring headphones, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, that's our next live PHP BB Weekly. I'm going to leave the agenda up to you. After all, if you guys have been in team meetings all day, you should probably have a lot to talk about.
Remember I said we were going to have 3 topics on this podcast? It's because 3 topics is too much for us.
Whatever. Whatever. I mean, I don't have a problem with long episodes. I think they're fun.
I don't either, except I have things to do.
Okay. So, Sunday's London Invasion. And what do you do after London Invasion's over?
Monday, Tuesday, we do just sightsee. Go stay at the same hotel or choose another hotel, more central London to stay at, because Heathrow is a little ways away from central London.
I can believe that. San Francisco Airport is about 10 miles away from San Francisco.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Very close to where I live, actually. So.
So I imagine we'll be taking trains or cabs or buses or something. I don't know yet.
Public transit. I love public transit. I do. I have a thing for public transit. I love it.
Yeah. If it was in an American city, you know, we'd just rent a car, but it's like there.
Who does that? Come on.
Yeah.
Lame.
I don't know.
Lame.
We'll see.
All right. So you leave on Wednesday then?
Yep, Wednesday morning.
Get back same day?
Same day.
So you pretty much have about a week on this trip.
Friday afternoon
Thursday through Wednesday.
Because we're arriving Friday about noon.
Including travel time, about a week.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
It is.
Any other big highlights you want to talk about?
Nope, that's it.
So London Invasion, is the schedule pretty much set in stone at this point? Or are you guys still making last-minute tweaks?
Nobody's debated anything on it. So
you only have one schedule change. You got that Knopf person. I don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Going to do a topic. You know, I'm sure if somebody else says, hey, I want to do a topic, we'd go, okay, we can see if we can fit you in.
How many people are registered? Or do you know that?
I do not know exactly how many we have now.
Last I heard, it was like a small number, it seemed like.
I don't know. I don't know how many they have now, because, of course, everybody kind of registers at the last minute, at least according to Brad at Joomla. He says everybody registers pretty much the last week.
Yeah. Probably mostly the local people in London area that are able to do that.
Yeah, pretty much mostly. I don't know of any non-team members who's going to be flying over from overseas, maybe from like Germany, but maybe one or two people, maybe.
Maybe. Us Americans would love to.
It would be so. Yeah, you know, it's like, for example, if you had a PHPB conference in Seattle, wouldn't you fly?
Yeah, I could. I have that $100 credit for Church in America. If you hold it before October something another,
mm-hmm.
It's like late October. I mean, it's here somewhere. I could find out. So. Or not.
So
my computer decided not to show me where my emails are. Oh, well. Whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like Joomla Day. Joomla Day is about 6-hour drive from us, so we went.
actually the very week after we released the information about London invasion happening, I started blogging, writing on the forum and talking about like what we could do for London invasion, and we've kind of been not very decisive about that while we were waiting for the schedule to come out. So we've sort of haggled on this for quite a while, and I think we can finally say we have something together now that we can finally talk about in terms of what we're going to try to do for our London invasion coverage. It won't be as quote-unquote interactive with the audience as we had before, but we realize that London invasion is sort of like the first time that all the teams are going to be together in one place and have a big conference with users about what PHPBB is all about. And so this is really a historic thing for PHPBB, and this will hopefully not be the only time this happens. But we really want to, here at PHPBB Weekly, give it as much attention as we can. And so we sort of we're going to be doing two things. The first thing is that this past week, I decided to go ahead with an idea that I had come up with and talked a bit about last week, which was to put together sort of a live event blog focused on London invasion. And I called it London invasion Central, sort of like the central headquarters for the invasion of London, so to speak. And you can find it at the website londoninvasion.info. And what that's going to be is right now, because it's before London invasion, I've sort of been putting it together with sort of content about, you know, if you're planning to go to London invasion, here's some like local transportation choices, here's some things you can do when you're visiting London, things like that. Things like, David, you've been talking about.
Trying to figure out what to do.
Yes. There actually were some people in the discussion topics that posted some links to ideas, so I'm willing to research those and sort of spotlight some of those. I started something called the Presenter Spotlight, which became every day up till the beginning of London invasion. I'm going to try to put sort of bit of a background about the different presenters for the different topics that are taking place at London invasion, or at least as much information as I can find from their personal websites or other things I know about, and which is very difficult because a lot of the team members do not have up-to-date personal websites. Including you, by the way, David. All you have to go by is Star Trek Guide.
That's up-to-date. What are you talking about?
It's not a personal website.
My personal website, highwayoflife.net, it contains just five... Yeah, I do. But it's not a blog. It's not even a website. You go there, it's like nothing. Okay?
David. Oh, wow. The virtual host was set up successfully.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for that information. But David, it just means that I haven't changed the start page because I don't need it. That's where I upload all my upload files for exchanging and sharing and stuff.
I mean, David. You've been co-hosted this podcast for over a year now. I've known you since like the beginning of 07, and we've sent files between each other quite a bit, and I've never before known that you had highwayoflife.net.
Sorry. Actually, it's fairly recent. I mean, within the last like month and a half or okay. So I can forgive you on that charge.
Yeah, you still got MAMP Pro going on there. But yeah. Wow, okay.
No, but
learn something new every episode.
Because see, I have a blog. Actually, I have two blogs on blogger.com.
Yeah.
And I have a blog on StarTrekGuide.com, and now finally a blog on phpbb.com. So it's like I don't really need a website of my own, I guess, unless I just wanted to cross post all that stuff. But
Well, I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have anything for your presenter spotlight, which will be up in a few days, except for the fact that you have a bio, a somewhat dated bio, but still a bio up at phpbb.net. I mean, you're not still working for a company in Nashville, so you might
Yeah, that's
and,
true. I, you know, to be honest, like actually, I am. I do still work for that company.
Oh wow!
So, but I really did forget that I had a bio. Whoa, wasp in here.
Why don't you go and update that sometime?
That was a shock.
So, so presenter spotlights, and I'm probably going to get David to help me out on some of these to get some information that would be interesting to put up. But it's sort of like, you know, if you're going to be seeing these guys present to you, you can get a little learn a little bit about them. So that's kind of the idea behind it. When the event is live, during the day of London Invasion, I'm trying to look for people who would be interested to volunteer their time as a contributor for London Invasion Central, whether that be taking pictures of London Invasion and getting them up on the website live, being a live blogger for London Invasion Central, so as the different presentations happen, sort of, you know, put up like some crib notes or summary of like what's going on at London Invasion, or just other blogging about like what's going on at London Invasion, things like that, or anything else that you're doing if you're recording audio or video there at London Invasion. We'd love to get one or two more people who would be interested in being a contributor for London Invasion Central and sort of help put this live coverage during the day of the event. So, if you're interested in doing that and you're going to London Invasion, please send me a private message. The link is on the website, and we'd love to have that happen. And, of course, the week after London Invasion is over, I'm going to be scouring the web for video that's going to be posted somewhere, audio that'll be posted somewhere. In fact, I think, David, you're going to be recording all of London Invasion.
Yeah, I'm going to try to, at least.
I'm going to try to, you say. So we'll definitely be putting links to anything else that comes out from London Invasion after the event is over on London Invasion Central. So this is sort of our way of being able to really give as much coverage of London Invasion as possible without having me having to work full-time on editing podcast episodes. Because blogging, believe it or not, is actually faster than podcasting. So maybe not quite as entertaining, but it's definitely faster. So we'll be doing that. And so that's londoninvasion.info, London Invasion Central. We hope you check that out. For PHP BB Weekly, we obviously have our episode on Saturday, which will be our normally scheduled live episode. David will be at in London after his team meetings that we talked about, and he's going to try to get as many team members as possible to come join us. And I don't know what you're going to talk about on there. I'm leaving it totally up to you, David.
I don't know what I'm going to talk about on there either.
Yes.
In fact, I didn't know what I was going to talk about on this episode until about 10 minutes before we started.
You had this musical chairs idea. You kept talking about something about colors in IRC this past week.
Colors changing. No. That was Paul that brought that up. I told him to shut his trap because he was spoiling the surprise. Because I think what I did was I told him, hey, did you notice
about me? He's talking about me.
Yeah.
What is this going on? Is this a surprise you're going to tell me about on this episode or not?
He likes to tease, and he loves to tease.
But what does it have to do with me? And why is it?
Because you were available to tease. That's why.
Oh, Birdie is coming after you, along with some poison deep-fried pickle hearts. my brother's here on the other computer. He just gave me a very weird face.
Okay. I would too.
But
I gave you a weird face, but you just couldn't see it.
That's Skype for you. We're on Skype audio. We're not worrying about the video. Thank goodness. I look weird right now. So
thanks for that bit of information.
That'll be our live episode. The day of, we are not going to have as interactive an episode as we were hoping, but we are still going to be doing doing the last part of London Invasion live. The last part of London Invasion. We're about 96% sure we're going to do this. This is pending on David getting some approval from Mike, but it'll probably happen. The last part of London Invasion is at 4 p.m. London time, 11 a.m. Eastern time, which is an open panel discussion, question and answer, led by the PHP BB team members. And essentially, we're going to be via TalkShoe and our normal method of streaming PHP BB Weekly, doing this episode live, but not as a normal episode. Essentially, it's going to be a chance for you to be able to hear what's going on down there. They won't be able to hear us. Only David will be able to hear us. However, if you ask questions in the chat room, David will try to bring them up in the actual thing taking place at London Invasion and be able to ask questions of the team members. Plus, any questions that or discussion that you get from the real live London Invasion audience will be able to hear. And this will probably be the most interesting part of the London Invasion conference because it's the part that's not going to be scripted at all. from London Invasion. Everything else are presentations and stuff. A lot of the stuff are things that we've already talked about a couple of times on our on PHP BB Weekly. So this will be the most interesting part of London Invasion, the open panel discussion, and we'll be doing it live here on TalkShoe, and then, of course, it'll be released on our podcast.
What will be particularly special about this is that everybody who's not able to attend London Invasion will be able to basically attend it by listening to the live stream of to the Q&A answer, or to the roundtable, the Q&A roundtable. I don't know what you would call
for
it.
For this 1 hour, yeah.
Yes, and so they, you know, basically be able to listen to all the team members, everybody who's answering or who's asking questions and answering them at London Invasion during that time, everybody would be able to hear. But also, you'll be able to ask questions through the podcast, and then I could relay them. Now, I might be able. This is what I'm kind of hoping I'll be able to do, but I don't know yet if I'll be able to do it. And what I'm hoping is that if somebody has a question, we say, okay, we'll bring them on air, and I can actually pass them through to the to London Invasion, so everybody can hear that person asking the question.
That's
so
that's the part that's subject to approval. Yeah, but.
Well, you know, you would basically be off, and so like you might be able to comment on specific topics that people are discussing over the top of everybody, and nobody at London Invasion is going to hear that. But let's say you have a question that you would like to ask the teams. Well, at London Invasion, I might be able to turn the mic on, shall we say, and everybody would be able to hear you, and then the teams would be able to answer. Or I could just relay the question there. So either of those two ways are might be possibilities.
Yeah. So,
it's your closest way to participate in London Invasion without actually being there, and it's at a pretty good time. What time is that taking place?
It's going to be again. It's 4 p.m. London time, which is 3 p.m. UTC, 11 a.m. Eastern time, 8 a.m. Pacific time.
No, not 3 p.m. UTC because that's. Oh yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
London is on summertime right now, so they're an hour ahead of UTC. So. It's in other words, it's an hour earlier than our normal live episode. And so and it's not going to be done in the style of a normal PHP BB Weekly episode. We'll actually be started about a couple minutes early so that for a couple of reasons so that I can sort of intro into the segue of what we're going to be doing, plus so that we can make sure that we can get this the connection to work okay there. Dave is going to be helping out.
Well, we're going to, of course, most of that testing the connection stuff is going to happen the day before.
Yeah, but, you know, you can always – never hurts to make sure. So a little bit of course. Time. So,
yeah.
And so we'll be playing it, and I'll be sort of here listening with the rest of you but also sort of moderating the chat room, and I can have the ability to talk over it whenever necessary. We'll be streaming live through the closing speech. Then once that's done, I'm going to cut off a London Invasion connection, and we might be able to do a short little bit of a wrap-up after that with just me until the point when I have to go for the rest of my Sunday. And so that's going to be sort of like the tail end of London Invasion, and of course there'll be all the usual live coverage that we talked about on London Invasion Central. And then during the middle of the week following London Invasion, I'll be having gone through all of the things that David's going to be recording for the whole event of London Invasion. Hopefully, he's successful, and I'll be putting together sort of like a highlights reel episode of London Invasion, which will be really posted in the middle of the week as episode number 73. And so that's going to be our very high paced setup for live London Invasion coverage. Really going to be exciting. I'm sure looking forward to it. I can't wait till Saturday and Sunday get here. And I'm sure David's sure looking forward to his. How long is your flight, by the way?
About 15, 16 hours.
Hours? Are you sure you're not counting the time zone difference?
No, I'm not counting time zone differences.
It shouldn't be.
Because we have a I should check my itinerary.
Oh, a connection. You have a connecting flight. That's right.
The connecting flight.
That'll
exactly.
Happen. All right.
So it's not a straight line shot. It is going down to Denver, and then we've got a – what was it? What, we have like a four-hour layover, France? Yes, yeah, so like a four-and-a-half-hour layover.
Okay, that's where all the time comes from. So it's like, you know, when I went to Austria a few years ago, it was only 9 hours direct flight. So – Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Or you can have fun. You can ride the train down at Denver.
Yeah. If I can spell itinerary correctly, I can pull it up.
We'll definitely be talking a lot more about our live schedule on our website, phpbbweekly.net. And please tell your friends, tell other people that are interested in getting to be a part of London Invasion Live. This is, as far as I know, going to be the only live stream that is going to be taking place live from London Invasion. So this will be very exciting and really, really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, total travel time, 14 hours, 58 minutes. So 15 hours, including a connection time of 3 hours and 50 minutes.
You're going to have a lot of fun flying. Do you have a long layover on the way back, too?
No, it's actually much shorter. 14 hours, 17 minutes total flight. Layover time is 1 hour and 44 minutes.
I
don't know why that flight's taking so much. Think about it. It's taking 45 minutes shorter, but our layover time is, 3 hours shorter, yet... So where's the other 3 hours going?
David, don't you know that it takes longer to fly west than it does to fly east?
Why?
The jet stream. The jet stream,
oh, that's true.
When you're up in 30,000 feet in the air, you have the jet stream, and the jet stream always blows towards the easterly direction. So when you're going east, the plane gets help, and when you're going west, the plane is fighting against the wind. So that's why
true.
It always takes longer.
Thank you, weatherman.
Yes, well, I know this stuff. when I am at some hotel and have absolutely nothing to do, I flip on the Weather Channel.
I crack open my computer and start programming.
If I don't have my computer. Unless it's a lame hotel, which doesn't have the Weather Channel, because any hotel that does not have the Weather Channel is, by my definition, lame. Be a good hotel.
I really couldn't care less, because anytime I have my computer with me, that's all I need.
Well, let's finish up this long episode. Of course, our website is phpbbweekly.net, where you can find all of our past episodes. Oh, boy, 70 of them already. I can't believe we're already up to 70.
That's a lot. This episode might be a good one to actually spill out the actual topics and the London Invasion topics, because somebody who is interested in the London Invasion stuff might just want to hear that particular portion.
Well, if TalkShoe supported enhanced podcasts with chapters, I'd do that. But
Not chapters, but actually splitting it into two separate podcasts.
Nah, it's too much work.
Aw, come on.
You might have split podcasts for official podcast. You know what? For this, what you hear is what you get. It's WikiWig.
Yeah. Okay.
PHPBBQ.net for show notes on this episode and all of our other episodes, as well as any information we have about what's coming up, and our forum at StarTrekGuide.com, where if you have any comments about what we have planned, any suggestions, anything like that, or anything else you want to talk about that we've talked about on our episodes, that's the go-to place for it. We keep a very close eye on that forum.
Yep.
Our next episode, we will be live again Saturday, episode number 71 on July 19th, noon Eastern time, 4 p.m. UTC time, and it'll be 5 p.m. in London, where David and other team members, hopefully, will be joining us live for a very exciting pre-London Invasion episode. And PHPBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Go to techpodcasts.com. For other great technology podcasts that you should check out and enjoy, because I know I do. And that wraps up this episode of PHPBB Weekly. My brother's giving me a weird face again, so I guess it's time for us to get out of here. thanks for listening, and we'll see you for a very exciting weekend next week. Bye, everybody.
See you in London. Bye, everyone.